The Cultural Council's mission is to nurture, promote, and support a healthy, diverse, and inclusive cultural sector so that the arts and culture are a part of everyday life for everyone. We invite listeners to discover Florida's cultural capital online at palmbeachesculture.com. I'm your local artist and host, and today we have an amazing guest with us. I'm very excited to talk with Jose Mendez, who is a creative director. He's a gallery coordinator at Hatch 1121 in Lake Worth. He's a co-founder of two big festivals in Lake Worth, the Dia de los Muertos and the Taco Fiesta. We're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about his experience as an arts educator. He works with prominent entities like the Norton Museum, the Kravis Center, and then he's also a self-taught artist, so we have a lot to get into. I feel like I'm inspired already, and we haven't even really started this convo, but Jose, welcome. Thank you, Sarah, for being here.
Thank you so much for having me.
Yeah.
It's a pleasure.
Definitely excited. So we want to dive right in. We want to introduce you to the audience a little bit, so can you tell us kind of a background, how you got first introduced or where arts came into your life and how that's, you know, expression became important to you?
Arts, like many of the stories I hear, started as a young child and from winning awards in elementary school to just really being, having that desire to create these comic books and comic heroes like that were very popular in the 90s, such as X-Men and Wolverine and Beast. And that went well, but, you know, time went on and I started getting more into, painting cars, and I graduated and I painted cars for the first 6 years of my life after, working, after finishing high school. And, so that developed into, that career and switched over a couple of times. And then I went through a period of, in my life where, I came back to arts where it became therapeutical. So arts has been for me as recreation, then it turned into working as a professional artist painting cars, to then revisiting my art style to creating cartoon style artworks that helped me get through a hard time in my life.
I mean, that's a pretty woven journey, right? It's not always a straight path, which I appreciate. And I know you've been in a part of earlier, you were in child development teaching, right? How has that kind of shaped, how has that been a part of the process for you?
And that played a huge role, because after I stopped painting cars due to the chemicals in the paints,
sure.
I went into social services, and that was just a complete cultural shock. But I realized that I enjoy working with people, and I enjoyed helping people. And that was a voyage in itself, where I started as a postnatal, prenatal care coordinator, which I helped women. I had a caseload of 25 women where I had to make sure that they went to their appointments and then their babies had all their shots and all of the cares for them. But I go into that because it was quite the voyage, where one of my last positions was child development specialist. And working at the Bridges program, they were funded by Children's Services Council, so they every year we had an audit where we had to go to all these trainings, from touch points, from milestones of children's development, and positive parenting programs. So learning how to cope with behaviors that you didn't want to see, and also learning, also knowing that children sometimes regress, such as adults. I think adults are just older children sometimes. So I think that just showed me that you're enforcing these positive behaviors along with giving children practices to stay busy has really helped me. Every time I'm done with a class, I'm constantly reflecting on to see how could I have delivered this better, or this student didn't take this because this group of students might have worked with this media well. Well, this group was a little bored with it. So that child development specialist really helped get deep into the core of teaching children.
That's amazing. So with your practice, your own art practice, how could we introduce people to that? Like, what does your background, Indigenous Maya, you were born in Guatemala, spent most of your upbringing in South Florida, I think in Lake Worth, right? Is that something that people can see when they look at your artwork?
When you look at my artwork, primarily a lot of it was, you can see the traumas that I was going through. And now as it's changed, you can definitely see the influences of Indigenous backgrounds. Mm. And I'm not just sticking to my Mayan Indigenous, I'm also sticking to other Indigenous backgrounds such as Africa and certain regions, because I love visiting museums and particularly the historical side. I always feel more comfortable when I'm in the Chinese collection and the Maya collection. And I'm like, there's a lot of similarities when I start looking at them, although not the same. So the art background has definitely changed. The style has changed as I try to teach myself how to work with different medias. I've also experimented, and that allows me to see what's the best practice and how to break it down. So my art practice is heading more into creating masks and creating more of the cultural art that is represented from Guatemala.
Yeah, we were talking about that just briefly off camera. You've created these masks. You started, and then you also brought your students into this process, right? So there's an exhibit going on that you mentioned. Can you tell us more about that?
Yeah, right now I created, the Norton helped develop what I would like to teach to children, and they always gave us time to create this artwork, which I was very grateful. I was telling you, I could spend 2-3 days on creating this mask and working out what am I going to give the kids, what parts of the project am I going to give it. So I would create the base, then I would have them add clay onto it, right, so it dries. 2 days later it's already dried, so then I would prime it. Then they would spray coat the base. So I had the chance to really break it down to what points that I get to give the kids. So being able to have that practice, we had over 16 masks. I think I believe it was 18 masks. I was able to work with the curatorial team, and they created a pyramid-like background with the supposed original color of the Maya runes, which was like a clay color, and the kids' mask on each level. And mine is right across it. So for being able to work with the Guatemala Maya Center After School Program through the Norton, it really helps me teach the kids that have the background of Central America and Mexico, and just talk to them about, you know, our foods and our traditions, and say, hey, it's okay to talk about these things at an earlier age, which I didn't feel like I had the luxury.
Yeah, and at a big institution, like a place like the Norton wants to support that, right? Support that cultural heritage, like sharing the telling of stories, the highlighting of those things for people's backgrounds. Like, that's so important that it's in within those walls that is something that it's talked about and uplifted.
I 100% agree with you. And having our exhibition opening and the kids getting dressed up and coming out.
Oh my gosh.
And yeah. Then, like, we're your artwork is in it. Like, I, when we started class, I'm like, do you have an opportunity if you behave to, which they do for the most part, to create a mask? And there's artists that have never had artwork in their museums. And if they do, unfortunately, they won't be alive to see it. So you're completely skipping, bypassing.
Yeah, that's a great you're system, bypassing yes. This,
and you're able to see your artwork out there. And they just, they don't get it at first. But when they make it to the museum, they get all these foods, and they're like, oh, everybody's smiling, and we're taking pictures.
Yeah.
Then they get it.
Yeah, people are coming out, families coming out, I'm sure.
All of our partners that we work with after school programs.
That's so exciting.
Yeah.
That is just, I love to hear about programs like that. Is there any kind of like behind the scenes when it comes to working with kids on that specific project that was any funny moments that you
it's
think
of? It's always funny. It's always funny. So I think less is more, right? Mm. We're in an era where we want to see more. But how do you teach a child to say, one, it's 18 children painting masks. I've got to tell them you pick three colors.
Okay. Yeah.
And I'm giving you three brushes. Did you see how we just painted that up there? I keep it minimal. I've learned how to or what color is going to blend with this so then I can paint that, right? Mm-hmm. So I've really learned how to minimize everything. And I pass that on to them. And then I say, it's not going to be 60 minutes because kids want to paint.
Sure.
And paint the whole time. Yeah, and I get definitely. It, trust me. But as me trying to manage that, that's always a funny moment because then they're like, I'm done. And some kids want to take as much time as they can, and then some are like, I'm done.
I did it.
I like the confidence.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, I enjoy seeing the kids' confidence.
No, I love when, especially when little kids, I have a studio in West Palm Beach, and there's often opportunities for families to come around, and I always have materials for kids if, their parents are hanging out or spending any time. I always have some coloring pages or just something for kids to kind of play with and try out. And I always love that little kid confidence of look at this amazing thing I just drew. It's the best thing you've ever seen in your life, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. I wish I could have hold on to a piece of that. Yeah. But
you do. You got to dig deep.
Yeah. Oh, man. So you've worn, sounds like, so many hats. You've got gallery coordinator, creative director, educator, self-taught artist. How is that something that you balance? Are these things are you all at once just you have your sections and segments for things? Oh, and I forgot, festival founder, and I don't know what that looks like. Yeah. This is a lot of hats for you.
Yeah. I work with great partners. Yeah, and I think when we were painting is finding your tribe is important. Mm. But patience is very important. So I knew I was going to the Norian. I knew my goal was to not be there longer than 2 years, but I ended up being there 5 years.
Okay.
And the goal was to build myself up to, you try to sell your artwork and some months it's great and some months it isn't. I then went to photography because it's a little more affordable. Then I've done merchandising too. And then I bought 500 to 1,000 shirts, and now I have 200 shirts at the studio. Yeah. So it's a lot of trial and error. The most important part is that you tried it. Mm. I had friends, we used several shirts to see which one fits best for women and men.
Yeah.
And it's just it's so much experimentation. I honestly enjoying the unknown. I honestly like experimenting. It keeps me out of trouble. And I also like saying that I know that process. And not because I read it off a book, because I went out and actually went through it.
Yeah,
I went through it. And that's how I'm able to work with from Day of the Dead, honestly, was one of the major components that I work that Emily Theodoskis and I co-founded at the Lakewood CRA, and that really did help create that confidence to say, hey, I know what I'm doing, or this is a good idea, this is not a good idea, we can't afford this, we can afford this, and who wants to work with us. So as you keep progressing, it's important to check in with your ego, and we always say that because you're not always the expert, and someone always has something that understands the culture a little better than you. So when we have input, it's always welcome. The festival is yours, so help me help make it better. And then there's so many different stories of Day of the Dead. Of course, it started initially in Mexico, right? And then there's traditions differently celebrated differently in Guatemala and then Central America and South America and Philippines, and it's gotten really deep into where there's a variety of cultures representing their shrines, ofrendas. They just have different names. So just making sure that you honor that the basis of what the core of what you're representing is to me important.
And this is, something that I'm sure is a learning process, right? You've been in this now, I believe you're coming up on the 9th year of this festival. And like you said, good things take time, right? And having the ability to say, yes, this worked last year, let's make adjustments this year about what we think we can, add to, change, bring in, develop more. I'm excited. This will actually be the first year that I get to attend.
So
I've always had other events, come season.
Yeah.
It's like a million things going on.
I'm
here.
So happy you can make it.
But I'm excited to make it. This is actually one of my favorite holidays that's kind of come into my awareness over the past couple of years. And I have my own ofrenda that I built and set up in my house.
I love it.
That I love this different perspective of looking at the life cycle and death and how you can honor relatives, past loved ones, you know, anybody who's gone on, and like think about a day of visiting with them and what that would look like, what that reunion would be like. It's just such a magical, special thing to, you know, celebrate, I think. And of course, it's a beautiful, like very creative, deeply artistic celebration and festival with, you know, the florals and the colors and the mat and like the, you know, masks and costume and dancing and music. I mean, it's just so many elements. So I am like wondering what, if you want to tell us what people can expect, like when they attend this festival, what can they expect to see and can they participate in anything? Like what?
Absolutely. One of our biggest participation that we're always trying to grow is our parade. Every year it's built up yearly. And it kicks off at 3 o'clock on the dot. It starts off at Hatch 1121. Someone will be there to guide you. Come dressed as your, however you'd like. Traditionally, we are in United States. So if you want to wear your Halloween costume, we're never going to say no to any of that. So we start off and go west into A Street. We are off F Street and then come back with music. Big Chief Brass Band has been joining us since year one. They're amazing.
That's awesome.
We're hoping that Faith's Place also joins us. They're always busy. They're an amazing marching band school, and that's something that we definitely want your help with. Always reach out if there's an ofrenda or a shrine or a different cultural style that you have. Please reach out to us. Excuse me. One of the proudest shrines that we had last year was Rohi's Readery has been working with us for the last 3 years. And last year, I asked Prano, I said, hey, can you create a shrine? I said, that's like on my goal to see, because I, you know, even entering a home to see that would be amazing, right?
Yeah.
And I've never been to India, so I've never been able to see that firsthand. Pranu had a 4 foot space and she ended up filling it all, which we luckily we had the space and everything worked out like it was. But it was just amazing to see that and the different cultures. So this year we're bringing a Taino ofrenda, which again, where I'm getting deeper into my indigenous culture is inviting other cultures, you know, inviting, like I said, you start finding your tribe where, you know, they feel a little more comfortable being creative.
Yeah.
And, those are some of the ones that I'm looking forward to. Prano returning and seeing the Taino and also a Filipino. I invited a friend, and when I invited her, I was like, hey, we need Asian representation. And she's like, I said, I always encourage you, just look into it. And we say, hey, we do celebrate Day of the Dead. Now we have a Asian ofrenda. So as a melting pot in South Florida, I we try to highlight all of the countries. And last but not least, this Little Free Libraries in Lake Worth that are over 100, I believe, in the city. Miss Mary Lindsay and has always created along together with Miss Cindy Ansel, from the director from the Lake Worth Library. They've always created an ofrenda for deceased authors.
Wow.
So this year they're creating one for Todd Bowles, which unfortunately passed away a few years ago. And then they're also creating one for an author. So I think just involving the community, and let's not forget Compass too. Compass has been our partners throughout the year since year one, that started with previous Commissioner Andy Amoroso. So we've always done our best to involve the community and always try to make it return it back to the community.
Yeah, so I want to shout it out. This happens November 2nd.
So the day of the celebration, actually, which I'm so excited, is falls on the actual day, which is November 2nd,
yeah,
3 to 9 p.m.
Okay.
Yep. And then the exhibition opening is also on October 12th from 6 to 9 p.m. at Hatch 1121. Both at Hatch 1121. You already know it's tough to find parking in Lake Worth.
Right.
So plan ahead. Sometimes Uber is best. Lyft is best.
Those dinner reservations and tea times will have to wait, because there's an art-filled paradise beyond these beaches. A mecca of masterpieces. Spectacular sights by day and night. A cultural capital that's calling your name. See so much more than you came for in the Palm Beaches.
One of the creatives that we're working with this year is Joseph Velasquez. He's a printmaker, Chicano printmaker, FAU artist, and he's creating Jose A. Posada style. He's creating Jose Posada style prints, which he's credited to one of the artists that helped make Day of the Dead larger, from creating the first Katrina on print to spreading the word, because he was a printmaker and that was the way he spread the word.
And we're talking like old school printmaker, like old school printmaker.
He's cutting him out of, I don't know, I don't want to say what material that he's cutting out of, but he's bringing his print press, and the community is encouraged to bring your bag or shirt.
Oh, and he'll press and something.
You guys are pressing on there. They're guiding you to press your fresh shirt.
That's so cool. Which I love
And it's completely free on both days, from 6 to 9 on the 12th. And then on November 2nd, completely free from 4:30 to 7:30. He's a master printer, and I'm really excited to have him on board.
That's such a cool feature. Yeah, I love to see that art form, so I'm definitely going to be checking out that space Great. Oh, man. So, I mean, obviously you're deeply involved in Palm Beach County arts community. We talked about, like, juggling those kind of different roles. I wanted to talk about a little bit more community work, like, How do you ensure, whether it's through these events or through your teaching, how do you ensure that these, you know, cultures, Hispanic culture, indigenous culture, these heritage, like, they're being represented in a way that you're proud to see and you want to see more of?
That that was one of the questions that caught me off guard. And I had to really look back and look at the process that we've been taking and this voyage that we've been taking for the last 8 years. And the community work that I was doing, working in the community and nonprofits, really did tie in together and being trusted. The first 3 to 4 years was difficult. And then the movie Coco came out, so everybody understood that it wasn't a satanic thing, because there was that stigma. And then that helped build it. And then the community, I'm, you know, a lot of things I'm grateful for is being alive in a time where diversity, inclusion, equity, all of these are accessibility are important. So it's important as an indigenous person to speak about, when we speak about Hispanic cultures, we speak about our marginalized cultures that are identical to what happens here in USA, from marginalized Afro-Latinas, Latinos, Latinx, whatever you'd like to refer to the indigenous cultures being marginalized. So I know that that's what I speak about. So when I have a community come and speak to me, they feel comfortable sharing that. They know that those creative outlets will be put through. And then hearing stories, you know, having patience, even building up the Day of the Dead and the Taco Fiestas, has taken some time, and hearing of the different foods and hearing about the different celebrations that are created and the way it's seen through, right? Because if you were born here, then you're going to see the ofrendas the way your grandmother built it. But if you were raised over there and all the customs, all the traditions you saw there, then it's going to be viewed differently. So understanding that everybody's viewpoint is different, even if it is within the same culture.
Sure. Yeah.
And honoring every single...
an exciting opportunity for the community to come and have that experience too, whether you're, you know, a first time attendee or you've been coming all 9 years.
And it's just grown, and it's organically has the passion. And it's amazing to see.
I love it. So I would love to talk more about some of the different organizations that you've had the opportunity to work with, and like what those collaborations, let's call them, have helped teach you as an artist or develop your, you know, your own path, like things, how you've worked with the Norton, how you've worked with the Kravis Center. I think Kravis is currently where you're at.
I'm a contractor. I worked for 5 years with the Norton Museum June was my last month. Between, I can credit everyone with being able to build up my confidence, and then being able to speak about what we see going on in the community and suggest the programs that are out there that need these resources.
Yeah, resources. Absolutely.
So I've been with the Cultural Council. We started Art in My Backyards. I didn't start it, but I started as a teaching artist. And then I also was the interim to help it continue for a year. And then Alexandra came, and then I still continued working with the Cultural Council all the way up to about, I think, 10 years, where we came up with a cultural master plan with the city and the Cultural Council. So it really, like I said earlier, it just takes time, and then just making sure that you're present, and your presence is seen, and while you're building yourself, you help others build. And in regards to the Hatch 1121, we started about 8 years ago. So all of these, my voyage, I partnered with many organizations and put our best efforts forward. And Hatch is now booked, Lula Lake with Arts Hatch 1121 is now booked till May 2025. Wow. So just having that patience and knowing that, you know, the word, word of mouth is the best marketing, and that takes a little bit of time. You know?
Yeah.
And then Norton has been, had their after school program for, over 20 years now. And I was lucky to teach at one of those partner sites, one of the original partner sites, and we created a mural. So the programs are out there. I think it's just the continuing that outreach that's already happening, you know, and making sure that people know about the outreach process. The Kravis Center, now that I am contracted for this season, as the visual arts teacher, is a program called the DeGeorge Academy, mm-hmm. That is for underserved students in Palm Beach County. And they started, I want to say, over 20 years ago. It started with performing arts, but in the last few years has grown into visual arts. Okay. Now we're engaging a group of visual arts, core visual art kids, and I'm teaching a group of younger students, beginning students to a little more advanced students. So I think that the work is being done, and then we just got to continue chipping away at reaching our communities.
With those students, what are some of the things that you cover in your classes? Are you drawing, painting, digital? Like, what kind of mediums do you touch on with them?
So you know, when you ask me what media do I work with, it's more like, what don't I work with? Yeah. So we've been able to create stickers. I think I brought a small gift,
yes,
a sticker, which I painted on a leaf. So I try to create activities that you can do at home, right? Mm-hmm. So you have basic things. It's just thinking out the box. My nephew thinks I'm a superhero because I can draw on a leaf. He's only five. He's like, my uncle draws on leaves.
You're like, yes, that's exactly what I do professionally. Thank you.
Yeah. So just showing students that out of small things, and you can create greater things. So, for example, we actually have a class this Saturday at Hatch. I don't start at the Kravis till October. Mm-hmm. We play a Basquiat game where you roll a dice and it prompts different facial features,
okay,
body, and then you use pastels, Sharpie, and pencils. We've done a little sculpture with air dry clay.
Yeah.
Self portraits. So we take a picture with the Fujifilm, real quick selfie, and they create their self-portraits. It turns into something else, and I call this the TikTok era, so I keep students busy. So sometimes they'll grab this certain art media and they'll work on it for hours. Then sometimes they'll go to other artworks. And because we do have that, if they finish earlier than I say go work, I always have one artwork that needs to be, is the final project. Mm. So they'll go back to that. And the projects always morph into something different. And as a teaching artist, when I'm speaking to teaching artists, I always say, what do you like to draw? And they'll say, They say what they like to draw, and then I'll be like, do you like to be told what to do when you're drawing? And they're like, no. I'm like, so keep, because it, as a teaching artist, you'll sometimes try to set things, and I'm like, we'll give them that freedom for the most part if they're, you know.
No, of course, a level of flexibility that they can find their own sort of direction within a framework, right? Yeah. You're offering them a framework where they can maybe develop an interest or a skill then and find a little bit of their own voice.
Absolutely.
So how do you think that is for you, like developing your own artwork, finding your own voice? Where do you think you're at in that kind of journey as an artist?
That was a difficult one to pinpoint, and it just happened in the last few years. Working in a museum, getting the being able to study these artists and what they went through, their history of whether they were veterans or immigrants or what exactly was going on in their world, and seeing the development of, like, I'm sorry, I can't remember exactly what artists, but they were creating art and then they went to war, created art while they were at World War One, and then came back and became famous artists. Mm. And it's just like the, you know, that passion and drive to continue to stay on what, you know, makes you happy is amazing to me. And just reading those stories. So I had a style which is very cartoonish, but that wasn't my end all. I feel like that's what I started as a child. So recently with the mask that we spoke about, I really enjoy creating masks, and I have a few ideas on the mask that I want to create that's in the works. And I also was selected as one of the fellowships for the Cultural Council.
That's right. Yeah, we got to talk about that. Yeah. That's...
So it's really headed into more of the indigenous art, of taking my indigenous art and interpreting it into my ways, and viewing the artists that are in museums now on how they told their stories. Mm-hmm. And how I'm going to tell my stories and what I'm creating. So it's taken some time to get there.
Yeah, and I'm curious, coming from an introvert, is storytelling something that comes naturally to you? Like, are you somebody who's ready to put that out there as soon as you have the idea, or are you taking time to develop and reflect and refine more?
It's taken a long time. Yeah. Saying I'm also an introvert. I just have to, when I'm teaching, I know that I have to bring these energies and just be this person for my students. And then when I have a festival, I also know, you know what, to prepare for yourself. Mm-hmm. But I've worked a lot on how to speak and how to voice my passions, and you know, so I lost my train of thought.
No,
so.
I think it was on a roll. I think for myself too, that's been an important way for me to learn how to speak about my artwork, about my, you know, life story process, things that I do want to share that I find difficult to share. But when I put myself in a place of community and, you know, kind of uplifting others' stories before my own, I'm doing that because I want to and I love that, but I'm also at the same process learning how I can do this for myself and how to build that confidence of sharing your own story eventually.
Yeah, no, it's hard. It's been a voyage, and I'm like, how am I going to tell this story? And like, yeah. And I'm finally have a bit of a, I think I got it.
I'm getting there. So yeah. Can we talk about some of your inspirations? Is there anything that's you think is unique lately that's has been something, I don't know, you've seen or experienced, or something from, you know, your personal story that's popping up in your artwork?
Going back to my native country where I was born, Guatemala, I'm like, why am I like this? Why do I have these behaviors? Why, you know, going back, and then part of the fellowship was to study the kites and how they were made. And I met a family and we spent the whole day, and I saw, unfortunately, the weather wasn't so great. Mm. So I got to see the kite fly. It's this 12-foot kite fly, and it looks small once it's in the air. But just seeing the culture alive, you know, because, you know, it's just seeing it in person. And then I took a trip to Tikal, and then I climbed the ruins, and just seeing what the rich history and the rich background of where I come from which made a change 20 years ago, definitely impacted me this last trip. And to continue on the path that I'm on, right? One of the things is like finding your voice, right? It's hard as an artist, but then finding what is your path, right? Where am I headed? what's going on here? But fortunately, the after school program really has captured my heart, and because it is difficult, and I give all my kudos to teachers that are there Monday through Friday working a full shift and preparing myself to teach in a class after school is much more easier. We got to get that energy out, and then we focus on what we have to create. And it's not such as a structured, class. I try to give a little more freedom. So it really inspired me to continue creating what I want to bring to my neighborhood, my county.
Yeah. All right. You mentioned something I got to go back to. So the fellowship is with the Cultural Council for Palm Beach County, right?
Yeah. Yes.
And this is a fellowship that it's a grant program. Mm-hmm. So it awards the grantees, is that the right word?
Yeah.
The fellows, I guess.
Yeah, the fellows.
The opportunity to go in whatever direction they want to. It's a grant that has, gives you a financial resource and a certain amount of time for you to just delve in the direction of artwork that you're going to, which I think is so exciting. That's an amazing grant for an artist to receive, that you can have this support and like, okay, I've got my moment opportunity. It's just such a good program. So that is something that you work on. Is how many months is that?
It's a year.
We're
all exhibiting in June 2025.
Amazing.
So
yeah, it's a group of fellows. Actually, we've talked with one of our previous guests. Tracy Gateau is also a fellow right now. Mm-hmm. So I'm super excited to see this exhibit.
It's a very diverse group. Everyone has their own style and different backgrounds, and where they're going to where they're going to travel to get more of these ideas, which is in itself is amazing. And as I was trying to find my voice, I was the recipient of the grant, and it's allowed me to get deeper into the arts that I want to create.
So is there anything else that you can tell us about what you're specifically focusing on within that fellowship? Or is it still kind of you're developing?
I'll give you a small sneak peek. I have the voyage. I definitely have the concept.
Okay.
So I want it to look kind of like the Maya calendar or one of the calendars. But in the calendar, I want to highlight those. What was the word that we used during COVID? Essential? Was it essentials?
Essential workers.
So to highlight the essential workers that, a lot of times we don't recognize, so that's a little bit of what I want to create. And I'm very deep into the car culture, so I don't want to promise that I'm creating two artworks, but it's definitely inspired that artwork that I've wanted to create, including car parts, that I'm hoping that I have the time to create that, to be able to put them both on view.
That's exciting.
Yeah.
I don't know if this is ever a part of what you were doing when you were working on cars, but one of the videos online that will always capture my attention is the pinstripers.
They're amazing.
Oh my God, with these brushes and these beautiful
strokes. How do you keep that much paint and then when it's going to stop, and then you can get back on the same. And I met pinstripers because before you still had cars that were pinstriped, or you would pay an extra amount of money to get a hand stripe.
Yeah.
And it would be men, women, you would get a different pinstriper, old school folks.
Yeah.
They just come in, right? No tape or anything.
Right.
I'm just like, I don't have a steady.
Yeah. and then you see the ones that are doing it ambidextrous, and I have to scroll because I'm just like, I can't.
And then they scratch the metal, and then they create a design, and then they paint over, spray a translucent paint. Okay. No, that whole art.
Yeah. A bit of a lost one now, too, right? I think. Like, I know there's people that are. Yeah, that's true.
It's
too.
Very expensive, yeah.
Oh, man. That's a cool one, though. Okay, I'm going to flip through my notes. I know there's always something that I'm going to forget if I don't read these. And of course, if there's anything that I don't ask that you want to talk about.
No, we're spot on. I'm glad I have answers. I'm not saying a lot of us, I don't feel like so.
All right. So this is a question I got to ask every guest. Mm-hmm. What is either an art piece, an art experience, or a place that if somebody's living in Palm Beach County or visiting Palm Beach County, mm-hmm. what's one thing that you think that, you got to experience this while mm-hmm. you're here?
Did it say event too or no?
Yeah, sure.
Yeah. I think the street painting festival for me.
Ooh, that's a great one.
Growing up, being in my backyard, just seeing it expand. I think, what is it, 25 years now? I don't remember. It's been a while now. It's all volunteer based. It's sponsored 2 weeks. It starts on Friday night. You get to see the artists start their concept to finish. They're all messy. They're all volunteers. A few of them are featured artists from the nation. Then they also include the local schools and then yeah. Palm Beach County schools that want to be involved. There's nonprofit organizations that are involved. And then it's free.
Right. Yeah.
So I didn't talk about that, but both festivals are free. We always thought about how can we charge maybe $1 to make a little bit of money, right? Because everything is expensive.
Oh, sure. Yeah. Festivals yeah, cost a lot of yeah. money to produce.
Yeah, but we've always been fortunate to get to work on grants, and that's what Emily does great at making sure we get grants to continue. But I remember as a child not being able to go to festivals because we couldn't get in. Mm. So when I do think about these festivals, my goal is to always make sure it's free because that dollar might be the deterring factor for yeah. a family based on their size or, you know, who knows what the circumstances are. So the fact that when I see street painting festivals still growing, the streets mm-hmm. are closed I'd never heard of any problems going on. There's the only problem I heard is the rain and I've seen it, but then they get covered. Yeah. But to me, is the street painting festival, you know,
that's grow. A great answer. I yeah. love that one. It's such, and this is happens every year in Lake Worth.
Yeah, February.
It's so impressive. I am always blown away by the artists. I mean, that is hefty, like physical labor to create your work on asphalt. Typically, you know, we're in Florida. It's not cool yeah. out there in like the blazing sun, but it's just so impressive. So colorful. Everybody's got like a amazing. Different style or a take. I love to see, you know, especially just how people respond to that kind of work is always really fun to see. It's just a great place for people watching besides viewing yeah, the artwork.
It is a very good place for people watching. Yes.
Yeah, no, that's a great answer.
And
I love that
and
one.
And it's inspired of a lot of artists. I've seen artists that started there and because I think, what do you call that? Public live drawing. Live painting is
yeah,
not easy.
No.
Some people can't do it. So it just puts you out there and you got to deal with the elements. And I've seen artists expand from starting there.
Yeah, absolutely. You know. It takes a lot of focus. I mean, you know, you're out there and people want to engage with the artist sometimes
yeah.
and
oh,
they want to
yeah.
try and have a conversation with you yep. while you're, yep. you know, fully covered in, I don't know if it's technically chalk, but I'll say
it's
chalk
like
or like a pastel.
Yeah, it's a pastel okay, yeah. chalk. Yeah.
That, yeah, people.
Yeah. It's, I did it it's one year. Skill.
Did you do? Yeah.
It was a wreck that week. I would just physically, it's a lot.
Oh,
it's
yeah.
a lot
it's a
on
lot
the body.
Work.
And it was, I had my friend with me.
Yeah,
we
I'm
together.
I completely understand when I see teams of people working on those because
yeah.
it's a lot to take on.
Yeah, it's amazing.
Super impressed.
Yeah. Kudos to the
For
artists.
Real.
Yeah.
yeah. All right. So let me check the time and just see where we're at. Okay, cool. We've got just a little bit left. So.
Okay.
Advice and reflections. Always would love to share with, you know, people upcoming in this world, in the arts sector, future generations, somebody who's maybe wanting to become an artist, wanting to get into arts education, wanting to get into event planning. Is there any, you know, specific advice that you might like to give those people?
Yeah. When it comes to being an artist, when it comes to creating events, I think your voyage, being younger, you're always wanting to rush things. But it's important to get to learn what's going on in the back behind the scenes.
Mm-hmm.
It's also important to get out there. And as an artist, sometimes, like you said, being an introvert is difficult. So network is important. It's important to get to know different people in the community. And it doesn't have to start immediately. Like, it doesn't, you know, you don't have to get to meet that many people immediately. It will grow naturally, you know. I think it's something that we don't say so much now is don't sweat the technique. It's going to happen. It's going to happen. And patience. But it's hard to say that when you're working in cultural organizations, and then I worked in nonprofits, and personally I've dealt with my own frustrations, and I'm like, why am I not a supervisor? Why am I not directing? Or why am I not? So maybe that's not your path. Maybe that's not your path to make it to where you're headed to. At the Norton, I helped start the Hispanic Heritage Festival, Nuestra Cultura. And I didn't question because I like to be busy. I was also in the DEI committee. So reaching out and getting involved on different processes and learning on how to see how to request those budgets and how, if there's a budget, and then how to bring your ideas in and understanding that there's processes to all of it. And keeping the determination that maybe your dream isn't happening here, that maybe your dream is outside these walls, and that continue working on that, and don't lose that spark that keeps that drive. And if you do have that passion and it's in you, continue to pursue it and find partners and resources that are out there.
Yeah, yeah. Find your people, have the patience, have the determination. Mm-hmm. Know that the journey is not always a straight path, but just keep at it, right?
I think that's a big one. I think the art journey is like such weird. It's like this. and don't get discouraged.
Yeah.
Don't. If that's
where the community comes in, right? If you surround yourself with people who are going to encourage you and help support you and remind you that there's many ways to come at this, you know, being a professional in the arts sector, whether you're an artist or somebody who's in, you know, admin, there's always different ways to come at something.
And I absolutely agree with you. There's a task program, a teen collective program, and I try to refer as many students to that, because they get to see behind the scenes, and I've seen students become tour guides. Mm. So you don't know what you're, you know, right? You start drawing, and you're like, I'm going to be a muralist. But then something changes, and then you become now an art instructor, or who knows? Yeah. The voyage to art, there's so many positions in the art world that don't get stuck also on one vision.
Right. I think that ties into what you said. Take your time and experiment.
Yeah.
Give yourself the freedom and the flexibility as much as you can to try different things, because you never know what's going to spark that really, that deep passion that's mm-hmm. going to drive you into the next thing.
Absolutely. And cool. You said community. It's if the community is telling you this is great, then that's your, we've won awards for both festivals, and that speaks a lot. But when the community is like, we're happy, then.
Yeah.
That's huge. You know. The buy-in is.
They tell you. Yeah. They're going to tell you.
Oh,
right?
They will. Good or bad. You're going to find out.
Yeah, definitely. All right. One last question. Yeah. Is there any future goal that you want to put out there and share?
Absolutely. And it's in the works.
Okay.
Mr. Norton from the Norton Museum inspired me. The Norton was an art school before it was a museum. So my goal, and which is in the works, is to start my own school, and it's beginning out of as an after school. And once it's done as an after school, I want to have a location where it teaches various arts, from performing to DJ to visual to the arts is broad, right? From learning how to do your nails, the hair. And it can be just, it's a program for after school, high school students. You know, not everybody can go to college, and that's not the voyage. Maybe you find your passion early, or maybe your trade helps you pay for college, you know. That's my primary goal, is to have my own after school program where kids get to go and be kids after, finish your homework and do what you have to do. And all while working on that, slowly start working towards creating a museum that highlights the Hispanic cultures in South Florida and nation, eventually nationwide. So they're big dreams, but
I love it.
I think the teachers that believed in me, the partners that believed in me and gave me chances, I want to be able to offer those opportunities to show the kids they put in the hard work and bring your passion every day, and you will reach something. So,
all right, someday I'm going to attend this museum.
yes. And after school, you can come okay. and teach the visual arts.
Maybe I can do a pop-up on impasto painting.
There you go. All right.
Well, yeah. This conversation has been wonderful. Thank you so
it's
much
been my pleasure.
For sharing your story, telling us about these events. I love to hear about it. I know our audience is going to get excited about it, too. I just want to remind them again, November 2nd is Dia de los Muertos, and Lake Worth, it starts at, it's the Hatch 1121, 3 to 9 p.m. It's a free event. You can bring the family. I think it's going to be an amazing experience again this year, ninth year.
Underwritten by Lula Lake Worth Arts.
And if people want to see more of what you're doing or find your artwork, is there a place that they can do that, a social media, a website?
Absolutely. I'm working on my website right now. Okay. I am on Instagram as r.creativeagency. And Facebook also as r.art.
Okay. So that's letter R,
uh-huh,
D-O-T?
Letter R, uh-huh. The whole, you got to spell out the dot, the okay. D-O-T, creative agency on Instagram. And then on Facebook is R letter, spelled out D-O-T, and then art. Yep.
Nice. Okay, great. I love it. Well, thank you again for being here.
Thank you for the invitation.
And I want to say a big thank you to the audience for listening. I hope you enjoyed this episode and you'll tune in again next time. Huge thanks to our sponsor, the Cultural Council for Palm Beach County. I'll see you next time.